Welcome to the Steelers Realm Podcast. And now, here are the boys of Steelers Realm.
You guys, once again, welcome to Steelers Realm Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, JT, joined by my crew tonight. I'm excited to announce my man, Freight Train, our PSF partner and Steelers Realm partner, Shane Kubis, and also my man, Hurricane A, Adam from Talking Sports With. That's at Sports Talking It on Twitter. Sir. Is that it?
Driving to the Top Productions also.
There you go. So, hey, while we got you on, man, tell us what you've been doing since last time we were together, and what you got going on show wise and whatnot.
Tomorrow night on the show, it's confirmed. Like, it was confirmed, but I don't like bragging about it. But I have Mike McHenry coming on, Jason Gurley, Jeff Fry, Mark Trumba, and Jason. Get one of my regulars coming on tomorrow night. We're talking a little baseball.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
Nice. I know Matt's doing the Baltimore show right now, coverage. And then tomorrow night also on the channel, we have Bill's Chat going at it, 8 o'clock. My show's at 9 tomorrow. So just looking forward to doing some baseball talk and catching up with Jeff and Jeff, Mike, and Jason. It's going to be fun. Last time I talked to Jeff, it was really weird. It happened to be on his 30th year anniversary of his debut. And I didn't even know this until I did a little research. But
nice.
He opened up at second base behind Nolan Ryan on his opening day.
Oh, jeez. Cool. All right. Well.
So, yeah, very excited to have him come back. So yeah, that's what's going on the channel.
Nice.
Shane, I was not aware of anyway. There could be always more. I mean, the show's always
you never know. Moments do tend to pop up. Shane, how's your show schedule look this week, brother?
Well, I got Tuesday and Wednesday, 1:30 p.m. live on the Steel Curtain YouTube channel, where I do my two shows a week there. Of course, we're going to have our PSF focus show on Thursday night as well, so we'll get into that. And then, of course, we'll probably be popping in and out, I think, for Sunday, right, for the Steelers game for PSF, right?
Yes. Steelers Realm is hosting that as well, too. And TA is going to be the front runner, the main host on that with his group out there, too. So, yeah, I'll definitely be jumping in. I think Mrs. JT wants to jump in, too. We had a lot of fun last time. How about a Freight Train?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's boatloads of fun. I mean, if you're missing it, then as the great Bill Hillgrove told you about our show, you are missing the boat. So, and also this was bugging me for like the past minute. Shane, can you either confirm or deny that your last name is Kubas or Kubis?
It is pronounced Kubis. So it's the it's at the end, not us. So he was correct. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to throw that out because I'm pretty sure. TA calls you Kubas, which
he does. And at this point, you know, I know it's going to be wrong anyway, so no matter what I tell him. So it's like, I'll just let him go. You know,
right. Well, he does that shit on purpose. You know,
he does. Yeah. I mean, whether he does it on purpose or not, it's going to happen either way. So,
right. And for all our fans, there is actually another member of this crew who you'll get to know. His name is the famous TA. He kind of comes on when he wants to. So,
he's not up on the mountain.
Stay tuned. He may or may not be back this week. Who knows?
He's up on when he's not.
Yeah, whenever he decides he wants to break out his golden microphone.
Right.
I was going to say you guys normally got one more. At least on my show, he's always had three.
Yeah, he's traveling, man. So, Godspeed out there, brother. Hope you did well in the mountains out there. So, but hey, lots to talk about, man. After this Titans win. And, of course, with this team, there's no lack of drama and good fodder to kick around So, I mean, I welcome you guys. I'm looking forward to kicking some of these topics around, but just a brief overview. You know, we're just going to kind of go inside the realm, talk about our instant reactions overall. Now that it's been a couple days and we had a chance to let that sink in. Some quick hitters. Let's see, you know, we'll touch on the a breakdown on some of the stuff going on social media wise and player wise. And, you know, new name popped up on the radar again this week. We're going to talk about that. One of my all-time favorite, not favorite, but one of the receivers that I always thought had incredible potential. Arrow was pointing up. But anyhow, more to get on that. And then we'll see how we fared in our predictions as well, too. So with that said, why don't we kick it off with talking about, obviously, Martavis Bryant reinstated in the NFL. Did you catch that, Hurricane?
No, I know he played in the XFL, right?
Yeah,
Sea Dragons, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
over there with Josh Gordon, right?
They were both in there, yeah, at one point.
What was that league called?
Who was the quarterback for the Sea Dragons? Benny DiNucci.
Yeah, Ben DiNucci, right? Wasn't he the quarterback for that team?
Yeah, and you know, with that kind of talent on that team, I thought they would have went a little further than they did in the playoffs, but. But obviously, the Houston Renegades just fucking toppled the shit out of them.
Do you think any of them played high?
I mean,
I don't know. Do you think they got tested? I have no idea.
We'll say maybe.
Is this an actual like comeback attempt for him, or is he just running out of weed money?
I mean, either way, it's a real comeback.
I mean,
you got to come back to make.
Is anybody realistically going to take a flyer on this guy? Like, would you want the Steelers to realistically take a flyer on Martavis Bryant? Of all the problems we have, attitude wise,
I'm Melissa.
Do we need to have another Martavis?
Hey, Melissa, thanks for joining.
She has great knowledge with football, boys. She'll talk all day with football with you guys.
Anytime. You're welcome to join anytime, Melissa. Appreciate you jumping on with us.
I don't know. Where's he going to go?
I feel like with Bryant, like the last time we saw him play, like he still had the talent, but he's 31 now. He hasn't played in a like truly professional, like in terms of getting a ton of snaps.
He played in the XFL, man.
How many snaps did he have played in like however many games, right? Like, I think that ultimately, if he has any of the speed he's had, he probably could be like a guy that comes in and maybe is a deep threat decoy type of player if he still has his legs. But like, it's 4 years is a long time not playing in the NFL and come back and play. Like, it's just a long time, and he could do it. I'm sure if the talent's still there, because I just don't know if teams care enough to probably really – like, especially right now. Like maybe going into next offseason, someone will take a flyer on him and bring him in tryouts and stuff. But outside of that, I don't expect a whole lot there.
I mean, it looks like Chris Elliott has breaking news about it, though. He says Martinez is in Dallas. He's hanging out with T.A. right now.
Yeah, I was just ready to say,
if anywhere, he's going to go to Dallas because Michael Gallup can't catch a damn ball right
now. That is true. That is very true. That makes some sense for them, just as a trial. Like, if someone was to bring him in to see if he still has something, then that's smart. Because last time, like you said, he was actually in the league. He was good. It just obviously had something else he wanted to do a little bit more. So.
That was the one team I was thinking. If anyone gave him a shot, it would definitely be Dallas.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
I mean, we know he's not coming back here.
Give a shout out to Jeremiah in the house. Hey, Jeremiah. Thanks for tuning in, man.
No, I think that ship has definitely sailed. I mean, that ship's so far gone. It's on the other side.
Get on screen. Come on. They took our name away. Come on. There's a chance.
Is it going to be one of those things in the off season, like he wants to retire as a Steeler or something?
I mean, I don't know if it's really – because 4 years not playing and coming – like, unless he actually plays another year or two in the league and then decides to retire, then maybe he'd want to do that just because he would have played most of his career for us then. But again, like he's a guy that had a ton of talent, like you said, JT. Definitely was one of those guys that could have been a full-time starter and been a really good player, but just had other ideas of what he wanted to do, I guess. That's all it comes down to. So
there's a good shot of the mascot.
There you go. Yeah.
There you go. What's her name?
Phoenix.
Phoenix.
Phoenix Marie. She's got a little Phoenix on her neck.
Ah, I see that actually.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So, well, let's go around the horn now. You know, just talk about this latest win against the Titans. Hurricane, why don't you go ahead and kick us off there? Your thoughts, just like 5,000-foot thoughts on
was George Pickens playing college ball?
Yeah. Oh man,
that was just frustrating on a fantasy value. Anyway.
Oh yeah.
He should have got that second foot down. I don't know what he was thinking. Deontay Johnson, whatever he's doing in the offseason, keep doing it. Because he was learning how to catch a damn ball finally. He might have lost the drops in.
Tennis balls. That's what it was.
Whatever
he was doing. Yeah, the tennis ball is finally caught up.
Whatever he was doing, keep doing it. Go ahead.
Shane, go ahead.
My main takeaway from this game is that they won exactly the way that the Steelers can only win right now, which is ugly, late, and with a fourth quarter drive. Like, that's kind of what it comes down to. This team
can Tomlin style football.
Like, if they can hang into it, if you give them a chance, if they're not down two scores late, they're probably going to win the game. That's just kind of how it is right now. And, you know, through eight games now, they have yet to lose a game by more or win a game by more than a score and win a lose a game by less than two scores, right? Like, it's either they get blown out or they win close and ugly. And they've been able to do it 5 out of 8 times. I don't know if they can do that same thing again, but if what they're doing continues to work, we'll have to sit here and say, we don't know how good they are, but they continue to win. So it's kind of this weird, frustrating mix of, like, I can't say they're bad, but they sure do look bad a lot of the time. So it's like, it's hard to say.
It's kind of been the identity.
Yeah, it is.
Which... looking for an identity. This is a hell of an identity to kind of adopt here. But, I'm still kind of disappointed Kenny's progression.
It's all on the head coach. I don't care what anyone says. It's all on Tomlin, not preparing this team to have blowouts. He's a conservative guy. He loves close games, and he likes to make things entertaining. It's old style football that Pittsburgh grew up on, and that's the way he is. He's never going to change.
Well, it's kind of past his time.
I would let Canada release the hounds. Let's see what Canada's got in that book for four quarters.
Yeah. What would it hurt? And then, like,
Tomlin doesn't like blowouts.
Obviously,
I don't know if it's because he can have no cliches, no good press conference with the after the game. Usually when you blow someone out, there's not much to talk about. I don't know. You guys know my expression. I'm not Tomlin's my coach, but he's not my coach. He should have been fired in 2018. We haven't won a playoff game in, 6 years, 7 years?
Yeah. That drought is way too long, no doubt.
And fans are finally starting to see that it's not a racial issue. It's an issue of the coach not winning.
Right. Or surrounding themselves with other influential coaches to help that cause.
But, that's the first thing people look at, and it's – it's sad that people won't look at real stats on this.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Raiders didn't waste any time.
Pierce comes in there and they kick complete ass, but they were playing the Giants. Let's not get too confident here. They're playing the Giants. Danny Jones goes out on a knee injury that he wasn't even touched on. It's like, does he really even want to be there? I don't know.
Well, I saw some positives in this. I'm gonna flip the coin a little bit here. Their first drive that I could remember resulting in a score, right?
First touchdown of the year in an opening drive, right?
The resurgence of a bit of a running game. What'd we end up on? 150 yards, 160 yards combined, something like that.
Yeah, right around there. Yeah.
And Broderick Jones, guys, should he sit on the bench anymore?
shouldn't have been from the start the way that Moore was playing. But now that, you know, they have that situation with Chooks, like, I'd still like to see him get most of his reps at left tackle because I think that's where he's going to end up long term. But really? As long as he's on the field, I don't care.
Well, I like him as a grader and a strong side, though.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, it's just, I think he'll end up on the left side ultimately, regardless. That's why I'm like, if you're, unless you're going to play in there full time, like for the rest of his career, which I don't like the idea of because I think he's more valuable at left, it's still getting him on the field so he gets reps. That's really, really what I care about at this point.
Yeah. And we saw some other players kind of step in, fill a role, right? And we lost Holcomb. So Golden and was Robinson in there, played some.
Robinson played a little bit. It's really for, I think it's going to be mostly Roberts and Alexander most of the way from now. I think Robinson will play more now just because he has to a little bit, but him and Roberts are so similar in terms of like what they're good and bad at that I don't know if there's a benefit in putting him on the field and taking him off. So it'll be just splitting reps and stuff like that. Hey, do we have a friend joining us?
We have a friend. Jeez, oh man.
Oh, he's stumbling around.
Where are you at? The X1 station down there, brother.
Gentlemen, good evening, man. How's everybody doing?
Doing all right, brother. Doing all right. We lost your audio there, brother.
No.
There you can hold it. Hold the button, man.
Can you hear me, guys?
Yeah.
There we are. Good evening. How's everybody doing this evening?
Good yourself, buddy.
Stuck on repeat.
Stock on report.
There you go. There you are. And there I am.
And there you guys are. All right, man. Hey, sorry for crashing the show, guys, but I had to stop in and say hi. I know TA's been here, there, and everywhere, man, but I had to get back, man. 1-1 since I've left. What the hell's going on, guys?
You tell us.
I don't know.
You don't know. I could tell you exactly what I seen. First of all, that Jacksonville game, I think Tomlin, first of all, needs to go ahead and get it back in the boys' head that that used to be a rivalry and that we need to make sure we're beating them kitty cats next time, just like he has us beating the damn Titans. But at the end of the day, we're moving on now to the Packers. But as far as that Tennessee game goes, man, dude. Dude, I don't know what to say, guys.
When have you ever been at loss of words?
Well, I I'm going to tell you why I'm at loss of words. Are you ready for this? Was what we seen with Canada on the sidelines a fucking fluke? Or is that more yet to come?
It's one of our hitters that we're talking about.
Yep, I put that in the quick hitters chain.
Yeah, and definitely we were kind of getting that. Another one of these firsts in this game.
Yes. All right. So go ahead, guys. I didn't have a chance to look at the call sheet, so I'll let you talk. I'll just sit back and I'll relax for a minute. JT, go ahead, take the show over again. Sit here and enjoy. By the way, can you see me? I am in downtown Dallas, fucking somewhere.
You are hanging out.
Absolutely.
Guys, I'm Martavis.
With Martavis, absolutely. I went from 8 degrees to 80 degrees.
It was like 65 here today.
Mm-hmm. 65 where?
Ohio. Well, I was in Imperial.
Western PA,
bro. Western PA. Is that Aaron?
There it is. You guys must have went around the room and said, "Hey, it's Adam, Aaron. It's Adam, man.
Adam, Aaron." By the way,
it's all the same, dude. I've been called every name in the book, so it really doesn't matter.
In his defense,
I still respond. It don't matter, though.
Yeah,
he never gets anybody's name right. So
fuck no. And look, the only reason I get Shane's name right is because Shane's easy. Shane the man.
You struggle with his last name, though.
What's his last name?
Don't even get me to think about Krabakus.
He added like 4 letters to that. I don't even know how he managed to do that. That's good.
Oh, man.
Hey, we like to keep it fresh around here. But okay, hey, go ahead, JT. I'm not going to hijack, but go ahead. I'm going to sit here and hang out with you guys for a minute.
Well, we were just getting into the Canada thing, and I can see already this show's going to go a little long tonight, so that's fine. It's always funner when we win. So there he is. He's on the sidelines now for the first. What are you guys' thoughts on it? I mean, we heard feedback that there was a lot of interaction, more than they normally are, and it can only be a positive thing. Do you think he's – is he going back to the booth now, or is he down there for good?
I mean, he has to be
staying
on the sideline. He has to stay on the sidelines at this point. I mean, we had our best offensive put out with him on the sideline. I mean, we found the running game while he's over there. I wouldn't say Kenny's performance was really any better than any other game this season, but at least Kenny's there to be, or Canada's there for Kenny to walk up and be like, listen, I saw this at this point. This is what they're throwing at us. We need to adjust this and adjust that. But personally, I think this is a stunt because I think the whole coaching staff collectively can feel the heat coming off the seat right now. I don't think it's boiling down to one person on the hot seat. I think them all collectively are starting to feel the warmth of the hot seat.
It all starts at the, it all starts with that head coach position.
Yeah, there it is again.
It has to. I mean, you, if your team's not motivated to play against bad teams, that comes to the coach. I understand that they're all adults and they're all, you know, maybe if they didn't get paid well, they would play hard every game to get paid. And without like a full motivational coach, I don't know. It just doesn't seem
like, yeah, I mean,
Tomlin's the guy.
Just to the Canada thing, because that's what I want to focus on. I don't know how much of a difference it truly makes other than the fact that he can be with the guys directly, right? Like maybe it's a it might help him like from a psychological standpoint of like, okay, I can literally go talk to these guys. Like, hey, I'm seeing this when you guys are out there on this particular, you know, run player, this particular play, like this settles, make this adjustment. Like, I really think that being on the sideline is really important as an offensive coordinator, especially because defense, like, it's obviously very complicated in its own right, but there's more basic calls, especially for the Steelers. They run a lot of just like cover two shell and stuff that's like not really, you're not making a lot of adjustments off that. Offensively, you have to be able to key in on stuff during the game and try to find ways to exploit it. And it's so much easier, I feel like, from the sideline to do that. Because again, you can talk to these guys directly. You can go to Kenny and say directly, like, hey, this, I saw this on this play. Let's take a look at this. Can we exploit this on the next drive? Like, and I think if he continues to do that the rest of the year, they can at least get to a baseline of play that isn't detrimental to the rest of the team. They can actually maybe keep the ball for more than 2 minutes at a time more often. And that's when the defense can do even more good things than you hope while having a little bit more rest. So.
I hate this chair.
we love
it. Like, unfortunately, I haven't found a chair yet that I like. Obviously, everyone knows now I'm in a new location in my room. I'm literally in my... Like, I have a skinny enough ass to fit in my kid's, like, gaming seat. So that's what I'm sitting in. I mean, very uncomfortable. But anyway.
That's cool.
Hey, so I'm trying to, like, get my jerseys in the background, and I need like, a full, like, wall, like, clothesline hanger to hang them all. But anyway.
You got it taken care of. Bob Mack, what's the big announcement the Steelers are going to bring out tomorrow?
I did see that. It's either a jersey related thing, like they're gonna like, oh, we're gonna wear like something, you know, throwback or whatever, it's gonna be something stupid like that, or it's like some sort of like maybe somebody's getting, I don't know about inducting like Ring of Honor or anything, because they think they do that like before the season, they decide that. But I don't think it's gonna be anything like worthwhile to the season necessarily or anything like super crazy, but it's fun. I'm sure they're throwing it out there as a surprise just to get people talking. But
hey, I say bring the bumblebees back.
That's what I knew you were going to say. That.
I love those things.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. Yeah.
No.
He's looking for.
You don't like the jailbirds, dude?
There it is. I see it.
There it is.
Is that a Troy one?
Yeah.
That's a Troy Paul Mahler one. Okay. That's the one I wore to the Hall of Fame induction.
Ah, there you go. Okay.
Nice. That was fun. You guys ever been to one of them?
No, I've not.
I was at the same exact one.
Oh, you were there? Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't know each other then.
Right. Yeah. We were probably at the beer stand next to each other and didn't even realize it.
We might have. I was. We got tickets last minute. We were up in like Peanut. Well, I mean, that's a pretty big high school stadium, but we were up at the top and we didn't care. We had a blast.
So were we. We were probably sitting right next to each other.
That's probably. I was on the right.
Say we were.
All right, cool. Yeah, we'll do that.
So were we.
I was on the right. Yeah. I was on the right side of the stadium. Like
same
like,
here.
We probably were. We probably were. I'll have to look at my video now. Yeah, I know what you look like.
See if you can just see a freight train. Yeah, you can see a freight train in the background.
I didn't understand, since we're on this topic, I didn't understand why they didn't let Cowher go before Polamalu. That way everyone would have stayed.
I don't know. They
did you notice how many people left after Polamalu? Like, yeah, that was so disrespectful to Cowher, but you know.
That's what happened.
Hey, dude, there was a lot of Steelers that weekend. They had to save some energy for the next day, too. Exactly. I think the next day was Alan Fanica and then Donnie Shell, I want to say.
And Peyton Manning.
It's a big one, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Chris likes the Bumblebee jersey.
No, but
not the pants.
The gray pants. Or, yeah, what were they gray?
It was gold. It was
gold. It's like a weird.
I thought they were the gray ones. Oh wait, they were them with the that V looking thing, right? That was like the jailbreakout ones, right? That was the gray pants.
Wasn't that taken from the Fort Pitt logo? Some part of it.
I think that sounds right.
Isn't that what's like in the Brass area, like the Fort Pitt logo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a question for you guys. How hard would it have been to be a Steelers fan? From 33 to 71.
Oh man.
pretty hard. Not a whole lot happened of note.
Yeah.
I mean, we were bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. So probably not great. I mean, granted, at that point, most people probably weren't even like, they were obviously into football, but a lot of people were probably like, they play. That's whatever. We'll go. We'll show up. That's about it. There's probably happened.
I was just wondering. I mean,
honestly, the only real highlight of that era was what, Ernie Stotner?
Yeah, I mean, probably. I do know one of our first draft picks.
JT's going to have an aneurysm here pretty soon if we don't get back on our
feet. One little trivia fact for you guys before we move on. We drafted I believe he was running back. It was William Shakespeare, like one of our first draft picks, I believe, ever. Yeah. Nice. Which, imagine having that name, just being like, listen, why do my parents do this to me?
I mean, it sounds poetic.
Hope you went by Bill. Hope you went by Bill. Bill Shakespeare.
All right, that was our Steelers learning lesson of the day. Right. All right.
Trivia. Hey, we kind of had to fill in for T.A. since he...
Right, we had to do something.
Back out. Okay. T.A. usually has a story or two.
Or three.
Yeah. So let's hit on this, the defense, man. One another bend but not break, and another first again. This topic continues with me in Cam back in the lineup again, and he didn't waste any time smashing some people into the ground, man.
No,
I remember that one play. I forget who tackled. I think it was the rookie Tajay Spears. I think just like body slammed him at the end of the play, like right before it would have been a play. It's like so funny. It's like all right, yeah.
But honestly, they held the Titans' big guys to minimal stats. I know like Derrick
Henry got his.
He had his one touchdown, but
total.
I got to give Joey Porter props, man. Like I always do. Yeah. He
one catch on own. Him all day.
Mm-hmm.
One
he held
catch.
His own against DeAndre Hopkins. Like Hopkins had what 60 yards,
something like that. Yeah.
No splash plays. I mean, that secondary without Minka Fitzpatrick looked serviceable for the first time this year.
It was against a rookie, guys. I'm not kidding.
I know. Like, and that's the thing.
But it was a great step in the right direction without Minka, for sure.
And that's the theme of this team. Like, we used to always lose to inferior opponents, just like last year. It seems like this year we're winning those games. Like, we needed to beat the Titans. We beat the Titans. Baltimore was having a terrible game. We beat Baltimore. It's ugly, but we're winning the games that we're supposed to win, and that's why we're in the thick of things in the AFC right now.
I'll tell you what, I don't feel as bad about the Texans' loss watching them recently, especially Stroud yesterday.
I had that penciled as a loss, just to let you guys know.
That was
one of my losses. Yeah. It really was.
I get it, but yeah, that guy, he can throw the football. So I just want to throw that out. Like,
but and then you gotta throw in here, so the middle linebackers played incredible. We lose Holcomb to that knee injury. Quan steps right in and makes the game-winning interception.
Yeah, after Rush actually, weirdly enough, had a chance to end it earlier in the drive, but he played pretty well in the snaps he played.
Yeah, that was almost intercepted on what, like three plays before that?
Yeah, right before that. Yeah, so he played well. He was in the thick of things. Like the secondary, I think, figured a little bit of stuff out, and I think they kind of had to by default because Minka wasn't back there to kind of keep the lid on things. And even Levi Wallace had a couple nice plays down the stretch where, like, if he can just be a spot like guy that can guard certain types of receivers for us that don't have that explosiveness that he can't keep up with, like that's fine. But Joey needs obviously he did start and he needs to continue to start, and I think we'll start to round into form.
And then you look at their tight end, the guy whose name I couldn't pronounce 35 times.
Chigakonkwo. Yeah.
He didn't have a single catch till the end of the fourth quarter when it really didn't matter.
You're talking about
fantasy. I know. I'm still salty about that, Shane.
That was very funny. I'm like, oh, there he is.
Right. Yeah, but JT, what'd you think? Or
did anyone?
I mean, Adam.
I was gonna. My take was it seemed Highsmith stepped up his game tremendously once Holcomb went out.
He had a great.
That was one of my biggest notices. And I'm like, well, why doesn't he play like this all the time, even when Holcomb's there? Or does he have a different role when Holcomb's there?
No, he's just a rush linebacker. He'll drop occasionally, but he should have been just rushing the passer mostly.
We almost expect that though now, right?
With Highsmith now, yeah. I mean, he's been
Highsmith and DJ Watt. We expect them to show up on the stat sheet week in and week out. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like when they have a good game, we're like, yeah, we kind of knew that was going to happen. Essentially, you know what I mean? Like one of those two guys are going to get his any given Sunday.
Usually, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. And they love the chop fumble move.
They love that. Right.
They love that too, and they've mastered it as good as anybody. And James Harrison used to be a monster at that too, man.
And Lamar Woodley.
Yeah. Yeah, Woodley too. That goes back long list of linebackers.
Yep.
We've always been known for though.
Yep. Yeah. Linebacker play in general, whether it's rush linebackers or off the ball, whichever one they've always had, for the most part. There was a stretch there, like when Shazier went down and then Bush and all that stuff. There's middle is iffy, and even this year it's been much more consistent this year. And I'm hoping that can stay that way, even with Holcomb missing the
year. Well, yeah, I think we've plugged the holes. Plugged the holes.
Yeah.
But, speaking of middle linebackers, had conversation again and continue to with LeVon Kirkland. So look for some big news coming soon as we work something out with him too. So what a great guy and still so active in the Clemson community and stuff. And so looking forward to catching up with him and some of the stuff he has going on. And these guys, they love the reminisce. As you probably know, Adam, they love to reminisce and give us some insight stories that you might not have heard here or there. But yeah, looking forward to connecting with him once again too. So it's been a soft spot for a couple years now. I mean, we thought we had it with Devin Bush, and since we lost Shazier, man, it's been kind of tough to fill that. Our boy Spillane,
playing all right with the Raiders. But...
when are you having Mr. Kirkland on?
We're still working out a schedule, yeah, with him.
I was gonna say, it's always fun to have these ex players on.
Oh man, yeah,
even if you don't have an audience for it, the pleasure you get just from talking to them, and you get the one on one. It's
absolutely.
Not like
yes.
I mean, this is the new one on one now. You don't have the studio like Ben does in his podcast where they all come to the house. I mean, obviously, he had to change rooms because of the baby and everything else. So,
yeah.
You should have hung a jersey behind you.
You don't like my curtains?
Coral. Is that coral?
Yeah.
What is that? Yeah.
It's like a, yeah, it's coral maybe. I don't know.
Royal coral.
Then I got my wife's hanging basket.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so, I don't even pay attention half the time to comments or anything when I have former players on the show. Yeah. Because I'm just so paying attention to what they're saying that I don't have time to do other stuff. I mean, that's just the way it is with me. Now you guys are all backstage. It's gonna all, well, I don't know about Shane, but I know you two are up top. But I know, you know, YouTube could run comments if you brought it out that way. But yeah, having former players on is just, it's awesome. I mean, you know, like I said, my Baltimore guy had Pollard on, had Ray Rice on, had Brian McKinney on. He had Tim Kirchen on. Now that was, I didn't get to get involved in any of those, but I did talk to those guys all after the show. Being the producer, you know, sometimes you get to do that. But talking to Ray Rice after the show, we talked for almost an hour and a half. And he said he only had like 10 minutes, but he just kept talking. And, you know, it's just some of those conversations you just don't forget about, you know.
Oh, absolutely. But
anyway, that was just my experience.
Yeah. We've had some fun guests on over the years, man.
Who have you guys had on?
Oh, God. We had we had Chad Brown, John Jackson, Coach Mike Mularkey. As a matter of fact, that we kind of stirred up a little controversy with that interview. That
Mularkey, really?
Yes. And he made a comment. I'll turn you on to the link to that episode, man. You'll have to hear that.
Okay.
I had 2 years later, this comment resurged because of the current lawsuits going on within the NFL as far as the hiring practices and the discrimination kind of stuff.
I remember whenever I joined PSF and I was got on with you guys. I knew I had seen your show before, but I couldn't remember what it was. I think that's what it was, JT. I think that's where I had heard of you guys first was from.
Yeah, it was on ESPN, and
I didn't realize that. Yeah,
Yahoo News. I mean,
that's funny.
Was that big? That's good for you guys, I guess. But you know, was the content worth it?
Oh, absolutely. And the crazy thing was when it broke again, it was on a Thursday. And when it broke again, it's like my phone started blowing up. And I immediately reached out to Coach and said, hey, they got a hold of our interview from 2 years ago. And, you know, there's a lot of coverage. Flip on the TV. I wanted to give you a heads up, let you and your agent know. You know, that this kind of took a resurgence. And the crazy thing was, is he was coming back on our show that night. He was going to come on our show that night.
What if he set it up?
He sent me a text later. He's like, Jim, I hate to do this, but
I've been advised
to lay low for a little bit. So yeah. I'll catch up with you guys another time for sure. But we're just gonna play this one.
Well, I had Jason Grilli and Lanny Fritteri on the show one time, and they started fucking arguing right in the middle of the show, and I couldn't get control of it.
Oh my God!
And I would try and sidebar it to a different topic,
and then kept coming back.
Right back at it. I was like, holy fudge! I mean, that was my MLB Horizon on Driving to the Top. If anyone wants to hear that. But I mean, that argument went deep, and I'm like, and I had like six people on the show, but it was only them two, and it was just straight. And everyone else was just sitting there like, didn't know what to say. Like, we were just talking about the new rules and the faster baseball, and I was just trying to have a good topic of conversation. CA announcer, a couple former players, and before you know it, I was like, I have no control over my own show. But I mean, it happens, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
Adam, that's good stuff, though, dude. That's a great stuff.
Yeah. I was loving it, but at the same time, like, they were just bark, bark, bark. And I was like, wow, okay. Anyway, you know, we got well. I'm so good at getting talking to people off
topic. Yeah.
So,
let's jump into Deontay. Let's talk about him getting his first touchdown and, like, feels like the century.
2021, right?
Definitely. Yeah, Last time was from Ben, last quarterback. Hey, he caught a freaking touchdown.
I don't want to forget somebody, though. We got to give a shout out to our buddy. And the most he's been on the most with us, our man Randy Fuller. So it's good to have him. He promised us he'd be jumping in. TA is back with us again. So welcome back, buddy.
Oh, we're back in the hotel. All right.
There you go, guys. Apologize for that.
No worries. So Shane, we were just getting into Deontay's first touchdown in 2 years. He played great, man.
Real quick, TA, when you're not talking, we might need you to mute because I think that's what the feedback is coming from. Yeah. Okay. That's what it is. Okay. So, yeah, just whenever you're ready to say something, you can jump on.
Unmute.
As far as Deontay goes, like, again, he's out of the three games he's been back so far, I think it is. Yeah, three games. He's been the leading receiver in two of them. You know, Pickens obviously had the big game against the Rams, too. They both did a lot there, but. He's really helped the offense stay just a little bit more on track and have a little bit more success because of his ability to separate really quickly, get some of these, you know, shorter plays just to keep the offense going. And he's playing at the highest level I've seen him play in a couple of years now. I mean, obviously, Ben's last year is kind of just force fed a ton of targets and numbers look pretty good. But last year, obviously, no touchdowns. Finally gets this one this week. And I'm hoping to see more touchdowns in general out of this offense, especially the passing offense. So.
I'm excited. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, no doubt, it's good to see him. And not to mention, he should take some coverage off of Pickens as well.
Ideally, yeah.
You think, but it's almost kind of worked in the opposite manner. But
so far, yeah.
I'm sure we'll get more comments on Pickens too, but just one thing that it wasn't like the 2 feet down didn't bother me as much as the one pass that was kind of over the middle in a way. And all he did was just kind of jump a little bit. He didn't even reach his arms up for it. Yeah. And as tall and lanky and as athletic he is, if he would have tried for that ball, he might have been able to pull that one down. That was disappointing to see. Anyhow. But on the other side, he is moping with the towel on the sidelines while Deontay is celebrating his first touchdown. He's having no win. What did I?
Yeah, but
he'd like to speak.
Yeah, because I got a completely different take on that whole thing. Since Deontay's come back, and Shane, I agree with you. He has been a man on a mission. He has been running his routes. He's been getting open. He's been this. He's been that. But at the end of the day now, we've seen two quarterbacks now since Deontay's been back. And if I go back to the Jacksonville game, we throw – into triple coverage to Robinson. Okay, so where was Deontay and Pickens in on that one? And then if I just go into this Titans game, all right, look, we've seen Pickens make a lot of acrobatic catches, and now all of a sudden we feel he didn't give enough effort on one pass. I have to call bullshit, and I disagree on that. And as far as the pouting goes, it has been the Deontay show since he's come back. I haven't seen him try to go ahead and put Pickens into play. They very seldom try to go ahead and even bring Cam into play. I mean, and then what, they threw one to Austin or one to Robinson? Bullshit. Fucking Canada does not know how to go ahead and utilize his weapons, and it's the first call, and that's who Kenny's throwing to. So, at the end of the day, somebody needs to figure out how to go ahead and get these offenses open.
He is utilizing this weapon. That is a give-me touchdown that George didn't get his feet in. There's no excuse for that one whatsoever.
Bullshit. And then he's a rookie. He's a rookie. In college football, how many feet? In college football, it's 1 foot down, and that's a routine catch. I got that. He's a rookie. He's a rookie. He's still a rookie. He's a rookie.
TA, no. There's no excuse whatsoever.
Bullshit. And then he goes bullshit. Over there and makes an you guys are being way too so hard. Being way too hard on that.
Come on now. Too hard. You're better than that.
Too hard. Because since, again, because since Deontay's come back, That's exactly what it's been as the Deontay show. You go ahead and you give that kid 2 100-yard games, and then Deontay. No. And then
Deontay 130 yards every single game.
You know what? He's a wide receiver. We could sit there and say this about any wide receiver. My point is,
if you want to be the best, you got to get a touchdown there, TA. There's no excuse for it.
Bullshit. Because you know what? How many times, you guys are all sitting here praising Deontay when just last year you were all ready to fucking hang him because of the passes he was dropping. So you listen to yourself.
He got better.
He got better.
Discriminate on who we talk about.
He didn't get better. My point is between receivers, you have good days and you have bad days. Don't sit here and get on these guys because he missed the drag a toe.
It's not about us getting on him. It's how he reacted afterwards and during the game. He was a bad teammate, TA. That is contagious. We've seen it time and time again in this organization with bad teammates. It's contagious, and it's already starting with him and to year number two.
I think you guys are bringing way too much into this than what it needs to be.
Well, I'm just telling you, the Steelers are going to put it. They're going to put it in.
You're good at playing devil's advocate. I will say that, TA.
I'm not playing devil's advocate. I'm just saying that you're going to go from a guy 2 weeks ago who just had back-to-back 100-yard games, and Deontay comes back, and now he's not getting the ball, and because he's sulking a little bit, now he's a bad apple? Bullshit. That's inbred in the team.
All the receivers want the ball, and I would expect my receivers to want the ball.
Absolutely.
But how about TA? How about that he fucking grows up? Okay, dude? How about he just grows up
when you're not talking to TA again? Just
act like he's been there before. Okay, I'm going to help the team out. I'm going to draw coverage away. Fine. I want the ball too, but that's the way it goes, man.
I think there's a fair point to be made that Canada's offense doesn't usually, if the game plan is run properly, have room for two receivers to play well. And I think that's an indictment on him, but it's also an indictment on the way that they view offense with the Steelers right now. And it kind of goes back to what I know you said, Adam, about the conservative nature with Tomlin and kind of what he wants. And I did a huge, and I've talked about a couple of times, a huge article kind of detailing a lot of the issues with this team, despite their record. And one of them is the mentality of the team. Like, they want to win games the way that they used to win games, and the NFL doesn't work that way anymore, right? You have offenses who aren't that great, who can still put up 28, 30 points any given week because of just the rules of the game now. You can't ask your defense to go out there and stop every team you play. And because of that, your offense has to be able to keep pace with some of these guys, right? Like, you just have to. And they don't want to do that. They don't really want to do that, it feels like.
Like, Shane, I don't think we would have been able to keep up with C.J. Stroud throwing 5 touchdowns yesterday.
No. We couldn't, even when he didn't have as good of a game against us early in the year. Like, we just couldn't do anything.
I mean, that game was wild.
Yeah.
Looks like that. It was 39-37.
Yeah. All right. Wild game.
And what does C.J. Stroud do? He spread that ball around. He hit wide open different receivers. He didn't go to the same well. Yeah, he didn't go to the well. I mean, and that Dell guy could very well be our number 19 if he could only hit Austin going down the middle. So, again, you're looking at C.J. Stroud saying he put up 39 points and we couldn't do what he did. Yeah, I think it's called offensive coordinator and coaching and putting the receivers in the right place at the right time. You have Allen Robinson, who was a stellar wide receiver in Chicago and even with the Rams. We haven't even begun to scratch the surface with him when you only throw the ball to him twice in a game.
Yeah, the slot wide receiver position has been a barren place for the Steelers with Canada as a coordinator, and just how it is, so, unfortunately.
Yeah, I just want to let you know that Pickens had 5 targets. Deontay had 9. That's only 4 more targets.
Well, yeah. I think where he's going with that, too. And you know what? I'll side with TA on the one point he's made in that it's not getting spread around. Now, I don't know how much of that.
Yeah, but you ran the ball. Look how many times they ran the ball.
Yeah, this game wasn't the best to spread around in terms of total targets, but again, they're not trying to call plays for these other guys. I think that's maybe the biggest problem. Is they're not
looking like a hell of a good play call when he dropped, but he didn't get the touchdown.
That's a tough one for a guy that's done that consistently. We talked about that. So like, that's one I don't expect to see very often from him. He's just really good on the sidelines, especially. It felt like his focus just wasn't there in this game.
Even last year, guys, okay, yeah. What Pickens finished, what, 15 yards shorter than Deontay Johnson, and also, what, 25, 30 catches less?
Yeah, he's a big play guy, so yeah.
But we didn't see him get frustrated.
No, not really.
I mean, I get it. You know, you're used to being the number one look, the number one throw to.
I can see the now steam all of a sudden you got to fall back. I love it.
I mean, for what it's worth, I think he should be the technical number.
I have him on all my fantasy teams. I think. So, I was hurting yesterday, too. I was a little bit frustrated, but I have Deontay Johnson as well, so I wasn't.
Well, there's that. That's always
good. Not to bring up fantasy football, but, you know, sometimes, you know, you always get frustrated when your guy doesn't get the ball.
All right, and to your point, five targets. All right, he caught two for -1 yards. You want to know why the kid's fucking pissed off? Don't throw me Mickey Mouse bullshit behind the line of scrimmage without a fucking blocker and expect me to do something with it.
Yeah,
bullshit.
This is not a good screen team. Let me put it that way. They're not great at that.
Where's Todd Haley?
No, but I think I remember seeing two bubble screens in that game, at least, that did produce yards.
That is true. They blocked well on those ones, admittedly. Yes. But in general, this team isn't the best at screens. Like, not sure, especially. They were really bad.
Especially in Ben's later years, too. That just never went anywhere.
No.
It's like, why you waste plays like that?
Yeah, we can talk about wasting plays. But.
So, Kenny, are we seeing him grow? I think our expectations may outweigh his growth so far. I mean, I'd love to hear you guys' take on that. Where he is now. Is he still missing some open receivers? Is he pushing? I noticed a couple throws. There was just no touch there. You know, I don't know. Is that a rib thing? I don't know. I just want to hear you guys' thoughts on Kenny at this stage.
I'll go last on this one. I'm just going to throw it out there so everybody else can go.
Listen, if we could run Kenny Pickett in the fourth quarter for four quarters like that, we'd probably have a pretty good quarterback.
Right.
But he doesn't get into that mentality and state of mind until the fourth quarter when he realizes he has to fucking do something. And it's frustrating. Like, knock these people out in the first quarter. Knock them out in the second. Have a lead. Enjoy the game. Quit making people sit on the edge of their seats. Like I
that's
am right now.
That's a coordinator issue, though. I don't think that's a Kenny issue. I think that's mainly a coordinator issue, but it's the knock on Kenny is his accuracy, and TA said it last year too. He didn't like it. He didn't think Kenny had accuracy. Remember that, TA? I will back you up on that.
Oh, absolutely. And I said it last year when everybody thought he was doing great that I still had concerns about his accuracy. I still have some concerns about his accuracy this year. I mean, I'm wondering where his touch on the ball is at.
Is it seriously though the hand size thing? Like, is it seriously, like, is that?
Stop.
I'm serious, dude. He's not gripping the football up high enough.
That's funny. I watched Baker Mayfield throw the ball around pretty good yesterday. And
yeah.
He's got bigger hands.
Not really.
He doesn't.
Aren't they the same size?
It's a quarter inch bigger.
Hey, dude, quarter inch is a quarter inch.
And I guess you're okay if that's what you're going to tickle your cervix with. Absolutely.
tough to follow that one up. I think the Kenny thing is it's a two-part issue. So you talked about it, the play calling, right, Freytran? I think that the play calling is much different, obviously, for the first, especially like two quarters and into the third quarter. It's much more of that conservative idea of like we want to maintain possession. We're not trying to create big plays. We want to keep the ball and keep it for a while. And unfortunately, we're not good enough of a team to consistently churn out yardage to make that strategy remotely work in the first half of games. So inevitably, we get to the fourth quarter, and now Kenny's like, all right, and even Ken is like, all right, well, we have to throw the ball now. We have to try to create some chunk plays now. And all of a sudden they can do it pretty well at that point. And I think that's the mentality is the issue. And then Kenny also feels like a slow starter type of quarterback right now where he has to get into a rhythm. And unfortunately, they don't really give him any opportunities to get into a rhythm until about, you know, midway through the third quarter and then into the fourth. So the mentality has to change first to give him a chance to start faster. And then he needs to be able to get himself up to speed quicker and get more comfortable quicker. And I think the offensive line playing better in this game and hopefully moving forward with the new lineup they have will help that. But it's still going to have to be the coordinator deciding to call better plays, especially on first down. Like, try to get 15, 20 yards on first down. So many good offenses try to hit you quickly and just get you on your heels nowadays because it gives you more opportunities to run the ball then too and other things where we don't really try to do that. And I think that's a big part of the issue with
Kenny. Well, it's like TA always hammers down, we play to not lose the game.
Right. That's a big just – mentality thing that doesn't work anymore, unfortunately. So
yeah, we don't live in our fears, do we? No.
Well, and then the fourth quarter comes and we're usually behind, so
then they have no choice. So right, the everything goes out the window.
Kenny have 7 fourth quarter comebacks already or something?
It's 6, I think. Now I think it's 6.
His number is astronomically pretty damn good in that category.
Hilarious, considering how many games he's played at.
it is hilarious, and I completely agree. But I mean, that is the Tomlin style football, and it drives me fucking nuts.
Yeah, and we all just have to sit there and deal with it. Unfortunately, it was our heart tries to not stop in the middle of the game.
Oh, I've had at least 7 strokes so far this year.
At least
already.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You have to call some sort of lawyer about that here soon for your training. You have to try to get your financial compensation.
Some money.
Yeah. See, and the thing is, I'd ask for season tickets, but that would mean more strokes.
Right, you just have a worse time. At least you'd be there, I guess. So, like, they could get you on the cart on the cart they have going throughout the thing.
Yeah,
quick access in and out of there. Yeah.
Well, I want to flip this over to another topic before we get up against the clock here, but something that kind of, you know, it perturbed me. On top of anything else, but you know, it's 2 weeks in a row now. Our receivers have been kind of headlines, not necessarily in play regarding the right. Fines. Now, just continue with Deontay, $25,000, ripping and blaming the refs on
I'm
the
sure
Jack.
I'm sure he'll happily pay that though for what he said.
Yeah. But what's even more disturbing, and I think you didn't, JJ Watt, speak up about this too, Jalen Warren. Mm-hmm. Got fined almost $97,000 in different plays so far this year, and 10% of his salary. Like, should these fines? I mean, what are you guys' thoughts on all this stuff? Should they be prorated depending on like percentage wise or what?
I mean, I just think they shouldn't be fining Jalen for what they're fining him for because like he's. What 5'8", 5'9", like 210 pounds, whatever it is. I forget what he's listed at, and he's blocking defensive tackles half the time because they get through the line and he has to step up and stonewall. I mean, he's doing it, but he's leading with the crown of his helmet sometimes just to get some sort of momentum going and give himself a chance. Right, and unfortunately, when you're 5'9", that's going to happen whether you want it to or not on like a 6'4" defensive tackle, and they're fining him for it. It's like you can't have the players. Like do what they're supposed to do sometimes and allow them to get fined like this because the rule is in place for a guy when they're running the football, they don't want him to put the crown of the helmet down because of injury to them, possibly injury to the player. That's fine. When it's a blocking situation, you're in the pocket and you're trying to stop a 300-pound guy from tackling your quarterback, you're going to do whatever you got to do, right? And he's done a great job of it. It's why he's the third down running back most of the time because even though Najee's bigger, he's not as good in pass pro right now as him. He has to be allowed to do what he needs to do, and I don't think they should be fining guys for just getting that type of play done. It should just be viewed as a positive.
Right. They should switch it back to it should be – you should be fined on something that was penalized.
That's another thing, too. They're not calling penalties on him in these situations.
Right.
It's not like they threw the flag on him. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't because the last few games, the amount of laundry that's been on the
field. Exactly, yes.
Yeah. But
– yeah. So, even guys – that they don't get flagged and get fined, and guys that do get flagged that don't get fined.
They only see the stupid Josh Allen taunting penalty last night.
I did not. I know I heard about it. I didn't actually see the replay.
Like, it was crazy. Like he was running into the end zone, laughing at the defense because they couldn't catch him.
And I mean, that's just fun. I think you should just
I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that type of stuff cracks me up too. It's like, I'm sorry, but if you are a defense and you're getting destroyed and the offensive player laughs at you, I think that's fair. I think the NFL should be like, yeah, play better. I don't know. Like, maybe don't get run around by a 6'5" guy who shouldn't be faster than you. I don't know. Try to tackle him. So
I just thought it was funny.
Yeah. There should be a line. There are a lot to celebrate and have some fun with it. Let's not take all.
I have a question for all you guys. Are the Steelers going to get rid of Najee because Jalen Warren's ready to step up?
Get rid of, I doubt, because they just don't have
the Dallas Elliott and Pollard situation.
Yeah. I think the problem with Warren is, like, I don't view him as a every down back because I don't think he's as efficient when you ask him to do that. Like, him as the – he could still be, like, if they swapped roles in terms of who had the most carries, that'd be one thing. But I still want somebody who can spell him that's a different type of player. So if they ever do that, that's one thing. But get rid of him, I would want them to replace that role then still, like, either way. So it's kind of – until you have – like, you're talking about fifth-year option situation, I don't see the point in picking that up because even if you want to bring him back, you could probably get him for cheaper than the option's worth. But I would want them to replace that role either way, like I said. So it's kind of whatever.
Yeah, and quite honestly, the Steelers at the end of the day are going to take care of Najee. He's not
probably going nowhere. Yeah, I doubt that they won't.
No, that's Tomlin's bell cow there.
Yeah. Yep, and they're going to pay him. He's remained healthy, knock on wood. He's done exactly what the team's asked him to do. And you want to talk about attitude? The kid's got a great attitude.
Yeah, they won't have to pay much either. So
I got my Najee jersey here. I hope I don't have to put it on the shelf.
I don't know about that, Shane. Only because how vocal he has been about the pay rate for running backs.
That's the one issue. But I don't think anyone else will pay him either. So it's kind of going to be one of those things where unless the Steelers are offering him something like disrespectful, even if he goes to the open market, I could see him coming back on like a short-term deal that maybe is decent money like per year, but isn't something that's going to hurt the cap at all. Like it's hard for a player who's already older for running back coming out. I think he was 23 when he got drafted and has a lot of wear and tear because they've used him as a bell cow. I mean, he's probably looking at most $5 or $6 million a year on the open market. And I'm sure the Steelers are willing to pay that if it means they can continue to use him that way. So that's where I'm thinking with it. But
you don't think he'll go to the Jets?
Well, if they want to pay him, but they already got a running back. It's pretty darn good. So I think.
I mean, they seem to like our running back.
They do. But I don't know. Maybe that's the last time.
Cardinals.
Cardinals. There you go.
Why James Conner's on the hour again? Anyway,
really he was great to start the year too. That's the sad part is it was actually smart.
Oh, I know my fantasy team's hurting. I don't know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, the fantasy football keeps you really close to your injuries.
It sure does.
Well, right. Cool stuff. If you guys are okay, let's go around the horn. Final thoughts on this game. We'll be doing our pregame Thursday night, 9 p.m. We'll be simulcasting with the Steelers Realm podcast and with the Pro Sports Fans app. Adam, check that out. I'll send you a link to it.
I was going to say, send me a link. I'll share it with my guys.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, jump in. It's a lot of fun.
When does this go down?
Well, we're on 24/7. It's a full-blown chat application and interactive app videos, just like Facebook for sports, basically. And we get to go live during the game. TA will be hosting the Green Bay game Sunday at 1 o'clock on that PSF app, too. So we won't be simulcasting that. That'll be strictly the PSF app. But we got room for 6 on there, live the video. You jump on there. We'll put you in a Power Fan. You can jump on the stream with us, too.
Yeah.
In the game, pop in, pop out. You know, we have a lot of fun with it, too. So pregame.
So do you guys happen to have like the screen on a side cam or like playing in the background? Because I know StreamYard kind of gets pissed whenever you like have a full.
Yeah, camera. No, we can't do that.
It's audio only, so it's in the video, our video, but not the game itself. But there's just.
I know we used to have. I know whenever I had my live stream guy, he would have like the ESPN app up, so people could see the score and the plays would be. You know, mentioned in that screen. I don't know if you guys ever thought about
this. There's a stats section you can scroll over to that shows kind of stuff live, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like a game day section has stats, drive charts, things like that. There's an odds tab too, so you can go in there and look at the different odds and make some wagers and things like that.
Yeah.
You can also.
Okay. I was just bringing up suggestions because, on the similar, we would set that up as a separate camera and then have it just set up as a camera, just set up on the side screen, and then people could look at it that way.
Yeah, I think we played Renegade once over the stream, and we got reprimanded immediately. I think Jason got on there and said, guys,
we can't be doing that.
Can't do that shit.
We also used to have a TV set up in the background.
Nice.
Oh, that was nice.
That's cool. That way, it's not the focal point, but it could
it's
be.
It's there, yeah.
You would have to sit way over here on the edge, and the screen would be right there.
Nice.
Just thoughts, guys. I don't want to get you guys in trouble, but that's just what we used to do.
Now it's limited to the phone apps, Android and iOS. But eventually, more features keep coming here and there too. So, but definitely pretty cool, and it's fun to get together with friends, chat and Steelers during the game and pregame too. So that's what we got lined up.
Send me the link. Send me the link. I'll see what I can do.
Definitely. So I'm looking forward to building on this win. We have another opportunity to put another notch in the belt, keep up with the rest of the division, which all won this past weekend.
AFC North is dominating the league right now.
Yeah, a crazy stat. If the playoffs were to begin, the entire AFC North would be in the playoffs.
Yep.
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, that is wild. But
I don't recall hearing what you guys said we were going to do. I seriously had us going 12-5.
I think my final prediction before the season was 10-7. I want to say is what I think I settled on.
I have mine in the other room.
And I know, the last time we did a show on my show, you guys might have talked about it while I was fighting my internet and I was off screen and you guys were running the show.
That's right. Yeah, we did have connections there.
But, yeah.
I think we all pretty much picked winning seasons. Some were, I think TA was what? You picked 12 wins?
It was 12 and.
Five.
No, I thought it was 13-4.
Oh,
yeah. Or 12-5. 13-4 or 12-5. One of the two.
Yeah. My prediction was if we beat the Niners, we were going 13-4. If we didn't beat them, we were going 12-5. That was my.
I see.
When I did my show with Mark from Camelot or Camelot Niners, that was my prediction.
Hmm.
If you guys get a chance, he's freaking awesome, man. If you ever wanted to have a Niners guy on, let me know. I'll reach out to him. If you're looking for an overall, I know you guys are just Steelers realm, but.
We invite other guests to come in. That's something
guys, cool. You guys probably love Mark. Mark's
yeah. Good, yeah. No, we've been on other team shows on this PSF app and had other team members, other team fans join us too. Always good stuff, man. It's real interactive. So. Yeah, well, we welcome that, man. Certainly.
I'll reach out, man. Maybe you guys do a show.
Absolutely.
I like Mark. I've done probably 7 shows with him, so.
Nice.
I highly recommend him.
All right, guys, round the horn, final comments as we head into the pregame coming up Thursday against Green Bay. TA, why don't you kick us off, man? You got your microphone on there. Throw back on.
Look, I want to see if it was a fluke. I want Canada back down on the sidelines. I want to see a dog leash on him this time, preferably with spikes, with fucking the collar in Tomlin's hand. So when he needs to go ahead and snap his ass like a choker chain, he's got his attention right now. That's what I feel needs to happen. And I want to see him spread the ball around. Now, Green Bay is notoriously one of the teams that we struggle with. We should not be struggling with them at home this year. So, at the end of the day, this is still on Canada. And I'm not giving him a reprieve just because he got a little fresh air this weekend.
I want to see more out of him.
If this team ain't ready to play, it's on Tama.
Shane, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, going into the Packers game in general, I think that the offense needs to be able to run the ball consistently well like it did in this game. Ideally against a Packers team that struggles against the run and kind of always has with this defense that they've had, that needs to be the focal point. But you do need to still see more of the passing game effective, especially on early downs. Like, they cannot continue to run into a wall on first down and then run into a wall on second down and then ask Kenny to go get third and nine. Like, they have to be able to create some chunk plays in the passing game to start the game, to get him in rhythm. That way you don't have to wait till the fourth quarter to throw the ball effectively. That's kind of the main thing this offense can do and I think should do to help things. Outside of that, players just got to keep playing better. I will say Canada hasn't bothered me as much with his play calls the last couple weeks, but it's still not great. Offense could have played better still, but I'm liking that things are at least improving a little bit in certain areas. So,
Freight Train.
I like that they're consistently playing to their competition. They're not losing games that they would have lost previous seasons. I think there's a lot that you could look into that. That's going to help us later on, like when we're looking to possibly get into the playoffs, that these games that we snuck out with a win will come back to help us rather than bite us later on. Green Bay, you also got to think they just traded one of their best cornerbacks to Buffalo.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that maybe George will come off his laurels and maybe this will be a game that he can take advantage of not so good competition out there. But yeah, it's consistency on the offense. We know what we're going to get from the defense, but we got to continuously beat the teams that we're supposed to beat.
Yeah, no doubt. Adam?
We got to be able to shut Musgrave or Luca, whatever the hell his name is, finally coming back alive for Green Bay.
Yeah, Musgrave.
He did catch a touchdown this weekend. I knew he was coming off the injury list. Got to shut down Dobbs. You got to shut down Watson. You got to shut down Reed. Who's Porter going to be on? They're all young guys. This isn't a DeAndre Hopkins. He's older. And I'm not saying Hopkins lost a step, but these are young guys that are well taller than Porter this week. Porter might have trouble this week.
I would assume it's going to be Watson.
The question is Watt and Highsmith going to be able to get the love? That's where this game's going to be won. Are we going to be able to stop Love?
Yeah, I like to think we can, but yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to agree with that too. I think we can keep that pressure on. I think that won't be the problem there. I was shaking my head, Shane, when you were talking about the running game, and that was something that kind of perturbed me in this last game, even though we did have a much better running game. Some of that, like running first, right up the middle, like it just like Najee didn't have a lot of opportunities, and it was just so vanilla. Finally, I don't know when it was, maybe towards the end of the second half, they actually did not hand off on first and 10. And I'd like to see them mix that up a little bit, and that running game continue to grow. Keep Jones at the right side, and grade some road for our running backs. Yeah. And take some pressure off of Kenny, give him an opportunity to make those throws. Even if they're conservative, just move the ball.
Hey, they didn't give up any sacks.
They did. That's
a good point. That's a good point.
The line did play well overall.
So, all right, guys, good stuff. Let's go real quick plugs again. Adam, let the listeners know where your show's on. And Shane, after that, maybe just kind of quick plug. We'll go around the horn and then say goodnight until Thursday night.
All right. Well, hey, I'm Sports Talking It. Actually, Hurricane A on there. There's been a lot of stuff going on. But anyway, we're going to get it fixed. And then you can find me on Driving to the Top Productions. You can find all the shows from Driving to the Top on that channel, Driving to the Top on Twitter, Sports Talking It on Facebook, Adam McNally, both on Sports Facebook. So, yeah, that's what we got going on. Got a good crew out there.
Shane, refresher on your week?
Yep, like I said, Tuesday, Wednesday is 1:30 p.m. live. I go on Steel Curtain YouTube channel. We do a kind of a recap show of the previous game on Tuesdays, talk about all that stuff, and then Wednesday we do a breakdown of the next game. So kind of get all angles of what the Steelers have going on. So.
And we'll be back with you Thursday night doing a simulcast PSF app. Shane and crew will be here. TA, hope you can make that too as well. And also, we're going to be on Steelers Realm podcast, second part of that simulcast. That's our Thursday night pregame show. And then TA, what's going on Sunday, brother?
TA, we are going to go ahead and have a real live Packers fan. And him and I are going to banter throughout the game.
We're just going to
pull the gloves off, drink some bourbon, talk some smack, and hopefully we come out a victor at the end.
Is he bringing the cheese, TA?
He can bring whatever he wants to cry.
TA, are you going to be in Dallas for this podcast, or are you going to be home?
No, I'll be home. I'll be home for this one.
I do like how
there's some pretty good Steeler bars down there in Dallas.
I do like how TA said a real life Green Bay fan, like they don't even exist,
like a mythical creature.
Look out here in the wild. There's a Green Bay.
If you guys need a Green Bay fan, let me know. I have two that I talk to regularly. Just if you're doing a preview show, I don't know.
Also, our friend from UK, his dad is a Green Bay fan as well, too. But
Joshua.
Joshua from UK. TA, looking forward to joining you guys game time on the PSF app. That's at psf.app. Gentlemen.
Definitely need to send me that link.
We'll do that. Yeah.
And special thanks to our guest tonight, Hurricane A. Adam, appreciate you jumping in with us, man. Good to be with you once again. Gentlemen, have a good
day. I'm glad you guys offered me to come on the show. I'm very excited. I love being a guest. I don't have to do much preparing, and it's kind of nice.
Glad to have you, brother. Gentlemen,
Aaron, glad to have you, brother.
Aaron, Adam, I'll take it. Yes, sir. It's fun. It's fun, guys. I love being a guest. If you need me back, let me know. I'll gladly step in.
Sounds great. Gentlemen, have a great week. Steeler Nation, careful in the hot tub. We'll see you guys next time. We're out of here.
Check back next week into the Steelers Realm.